Yesterday was a good day for the church. Case and point, yesterday morning, my diocese, the Episcopal Church in North Texas, at a special convention, took up matters of consequence and made a decision that will further the mission of the church in the 23 counties that lie between here and the Texas Panhandle. For those who don't know, all priests belong to a diocese. The Episcopal Church in North Texas sponsored me for seminary and ordained me, so that's where I am canonically resident. I serve at Transfiguration because Bishop Sumner has licensed me to do so. And if you're unaware of what's been going on in my diocese, here's a brief, overly simplified, and incredibly biased overview of what's been going on. 13 years ago, the then Bishop of the Diocese of Fort Worth, Jack Eicher, said that he was leaving the Episcopal Church over irreconcilable theological differences, and he was taking the entire diocese, property, clergy, and laity with him. Several parishes, priests, and parishioners said no thanks and decided to remain Episcopalians. They reformed the diocese under the guidance of then presiding bishop, Catherine Jeffords Shorey. What followed was 12 years of litigation over diocesan and parish property, including who could rightfully call themselves the Episcopal Diocese of Fort Worth. The loyal Episcopalians lost that legal battle last year, handed over the keys to many of their church buildings, renamed themselves the Episcopal Church in North Texas, and asked, what's next? Should we remain an independent diocese? Should we merge with another diocese? Or should we split up the parishes between the dioceses that surround us? After much prayer, discernment, and collaboration, my diocese decided to seek reunification with the Diocese of Texas, the part of the state that goes from Waco all the way over to Longview, down to Beaumont, and includes the Houston and Austin areas. A few weeks ago, the Diocesan Council in Texas voted to approve a resolution that would make Fort Worth a part of the Episcopal Diocese of Texas once again, a diocese that used to include the entire state. As I said, yesterday was a good day for the church. My diocese unanimously voted to adopt the same resolution. This will go before the House of Bishops and the House of Deputies at General Convention next month in Baltimore, after which my diocese will cease to exist. We will become the Fort Worth Convocation of the Episcopal Diocese of Texas. And this is great news. The Diocese of Texas has the right leadership and resources to help a diocese like ours. After years of struggle, fears and uncertainty, difficulties too many to number, we are finally becoming whole again. Becoming whole by becoming part of something that's larger than ourselves. The story of my diocese, in many ways, is the story of the Gerasene demoniac, the story we just heard from Luke. On the outskirts of town, not in a home, but among the tombs, sits a man beset by more evils than the gospel writer can number. His difficulties are too much for his neighbors to bear or fix. He's left out on his own. They chain him up because they don't want him to hurt himself, but at the same time, no one's volunteering to take him into their home. This is not a story about the ethical treatment of pigs. It's about a person, broken, dehumanized, cast out of the community for something that wasn't his fault, a person who sees Jesus and is offered healing and wholeness. And Luke tells us that the demoniac was like this for a long time, probably for years. The story is not about how Jesus let the man suffer before finally getting around to casting out his demons. It's about how no matter what we put ourselves through or what the world throws at us, Jesus looks at us with mercy, casting out our demons and the evils that beset us. After years of being tormented by demons, chained among the dead, Jesus arrived and set that man free. Free not just to go back to his old life, but free to tell the world all the good things that Jesus has done for him. Free to go and break others' chains. It was a good day for that man, like yesterday was a good day for the Episcopal Church in North Texas. But our convention in Fort Worth came on the heels of what was not a good day for the church. On Thursday, the plague of gun violence that has tormented our nation, including its houses of worship, found its way into the Episcopal Church. At an evening potluck at St. Stephen's Episcopal Church in Vestavia Hills, Alabama, a tormented man with access to firearms shot and killed three people in the parish hall. I don't really know what to say that hasn't already been said. I don't have anything new to add to the conversation around gun violence. Each of you has your own idea about what a nation should do to deal with the never-ending tragedy of mass shootings. I stand here as your priest, heartbroken and lost, as many of you are. When are we going to shake ourselves of these demons? Our extremist politics have ground progress to a standstill. Mass shootings not only continue to happen, but are happening with greater frequency. The nightmare we've been living in is getting worse, not better. We are living among the tombs because we can't leave the cemetery long enough before we have to come back and mourn the loss of another life. We are just like the demoniac, aren't we? We can't seem to help ourselves, and no one is coming to our aid. We are in the thick of what Luke says is a long time. A long time like when the demoniac was naked and chained, when he was tormented by a legion of evil spirits. A long time like when the Diocese of Fort Worth didn't know what its fate would be, when the judgments of the courts loomed over its heads. The long time is a difficult place to be. And the solution won't be as cut and dry as an exorcism or a vote by a church synod. The solution will look a lot like the other observance this weekend. On June 19th, 1865, more than 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation ended the practice of slavery in the United States, 2,000 Union troops arrived at Galveston Bay and announced that all the slaves in Texas were free men and women. Now that was a great day. But a great day after hundreds of years of bondage. A great day after 10 million Africans suffered the middle passage of the Atlantic slave trade. A great day after untold numbers of slave families were ripped apart, its members being traded as property. A great day after a long time. A great day that was followed by new horrors that awaited the newly freed slaves, Jim Crow, lynchings, mass incarceration, and economic disenfranchisement, to name a few. But a great day, nonetheless. A day of liberation, where chains were broken and the black people of Texas and the South were found sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in their right mind, free and whole. I believe that as a nation, we can fix this. I believe that the church can play a role. We can acknowledge that we are in the long time without being complacent. We can hope for God's justice without being bystanders. We can go out and be Christ's hands and feet in the world. I believe that we can identify the evils of the world and ask them, "What is your name?" I believe that the church, armed with the word of God instead of weapons and agape instead of violence, can make that long time a little shorter. I believe it because I've seen it. I've seen it in Scripture, in the stories like the one we heard today. I've seen it in the procedures of church conventions, and I've seen it in the struggle for freedom and equality that we continue to fight, even to this day. We must have courage in the face of fear, even though our troubles are legion. And we're already off to a good start. When the newly freed Gerasene asked what was next, Jesus told him to stay home and declare to everyone how much good God had done for him. If that is to be our task, then we're right where we need to be. At home, in the mission field, in the struggle. God has done so much for us that there is no end to what we can declare. So let's start with thanksgiving. This is a great day. This is a day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.